morning and welcome to Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike. My name is Jay.
My name is Mike.
And I am shocked, completely shocked, that Chloris took her revenge on Dolores.
I can't believe it, Jack. Like, the second I was like, damn it.
But could that be Chloris? Because she had, like, a pretty good facelift. I don't know what the time was between the end of last episode and this one, but, like, even though we only saw her face, like, it was not charred in the least.
It only takes a few minutes to get a new face.
Yeah, I mean, they have the little, like, gun thing where they spray back on.
Well, and especially if she's, I mean, if our assumption is that she's working with Maeve and or Surratt, like, they probably have the means to easily fix her up, right? Like, they could just go back to where Maeve made Clementine and the other one from Shogun World and was like, yeah, just patch her up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, Jack, you were right. There it is. Save it. Have a little sound clip.
Well, no, it wasn't a big deal, but you made such a big... That's not going to happen.
I just felt like, why would she just switch sides? That's where I don't get... Like, to me, at this point, Dolores...
I need to go outside and have a smoke. You're crazy. There's no way that's coming through.
So much sense that I don't understand Maeve's side at all. I don't understand any of these people that are fighting for Serac. And maybe it's because they don't know what Dolores knows and Caleb knows. But to me, it's like obvious. Why are you fighting against your own
self-interest? I think eventually Maeve wakes up and joins Dolores. I said it last week. I mean, I know it didn't look good last night. But
it definitely did not look good.
But what's... Like Dolores keeps saying, there's not many left of my kind.
Of our kind.
Yeah, our kind. Funny. So when does Maeve wake up and go, okay, yeah, I need to stop?
Well, killing Hector, at least, I guess, gives some motivation there, I guess. But then Maeve's side, so she's
I don't know, but
that.
It seems like if we're going along with Dolores' big plan, which is that, like, it was never her intention to bring down humanity out of her own hand. It was always going to be at somebody else's, like... Maybe that's a big reason why I think the Insight leak happened was just to like cause this civil unrest against Insight and I guess Serac by proxy. So I think that, you know, maybe Maeve turns on Serac, but I feel like Serac's downfall is going to come at the hands of the people that they've been watching over and trying to monitor in order to prevent, you know, they essentially just self-perpetuating prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to prevent this world ruin. And they're ended up causing it because they were trying to prevent the world ruin.
Here's my question. Sorry, go ahead, Jack.
I still think, I think I said earlier a couple episodes ago, I think Serac is dead. I think he's gone. His brother has been controlling him.
Well, there's a moment in this episode. Again, there's a lot of Jack fan service. I'm just going to say it right now. But there was the thing with Serac's projection thing where he's like, I can't quite be here. Like,
yeah,
I'm not
and
who
he said, he literally said, the man who I was no longer exists. And it's
right.
Like, are you speaking metaphorically that, like, hey, I was this way before with you, brother, but now I'm somebody different? Or was it like, I am dead? I'm not me anymore.
Right.
I'm a robot.
I don't think Serac, I think it's his brother is controlling, his brother is controlling the.
What if the brother. Is Serac and the real Serac is the one frozen.
Ooh, that's a twisty twist.
That's like a bit of like a face-off thing, right? That swapped bodies and they and because it does seem like, you know, again, as much a method as there might be to Serac's madness, like there is madness there, right? Like there is some things we find out this episode. Obviously, I think the big reveal is about Caleb. We had known that he was sort of an outlier, but now we found out like he was sort of an outlier that we used to round up other outliers. And some of them have been frozen and some of them were just outright killed. So there's a lot of brutality that's been happening.
Well, that's why there's not a lot of people in the streets.
Yeah, that makes sense as well. They're
because they're all in, you know,
So I would say maybe the outliers were like maybe 1% of the population, but no, it's like half the population, and that's
why. Exactly. Like I think everyone's just so effed up by 2059 that ends up, you know, really coding them out. But yeah, it's. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I know that they said what his name Jean Mi was like a schizophrenic. So I don't know how manic their actions would be, but like I could imagine somebody mentally unstable. You know, planning these things, and somebody mentally unstable would also maybe believe that his brother was going to lock him away, and so decides to pull the old switcheroo on him and lock him away as well.
Right.
I think that's a really good theory. It's a really good hot take. And I think it could happen.
Maybe he locked him away as he's a kid. Maybe he's kid as well, a child.
Because there's the thing I wanted to say was, you know, in this universe where this show takes place, did Jurassic Park not get released? Because I feel like the Jurassic Park movie should have let them know you can't try to control nature. Like, no matter how hard you try, it's going to blow back in your face.
I don't know. I mean, look at the world that we live in today where the Jurassic Park movies definitively exist and they keep opening the damn park. And, like, we still tamper with nature each and every day.
It's true.
Well, I think you're always going to have someone who thinks they can do it. And someone
right?
thinks they can do the right. I mean, you're always going to have that. Yep. You're always going to person. Well, this is the right. This is what I believe in, mm-hmm. and especially as someone who's schizophrenic is who's not thinking clearly anyway, right? So,
or even if they're schizophrenic or not schizophrenic, I mean, there's plenty of people.
Well, I'm saying in this case,
a lot of different ways you can go about it, but I do like the theory that it could be. And what's his name again? Like it's
Jean
Me. Yeah, it's like Jean Valjean, very stereotypical.
Yeah, it's like Jean Valjean combined with the banh mi sandwich. That's the guy.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
We want this name to be so French. How can we make
it? I believe, though, that he did the voice of Solomon, which was fun because he got to be like a little sassy,
yes,
too.
Yes. Yeah, his actual full name is Jean-Mi Baguette Croissant. Well-known facts, just so everyone knows.
I'm just going to call him Johnny. We okay with that?
Oh, he'll love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in one of those little boxes floating around there.
I have a few French friends, and what I know of the French is they love Americanization of mm-hmm. their culture. They just love it. Love it. Anyway, penultimate episode, like mm-hmm. second to last. When the trailer at the end of this episode was just like, one episode left. My question to all of you is, did it feel like a penultimate episode? Did it set the stage for one last episode for the season?
I would say it did, even though it was sort of a, from a certain perspective, like I think with the William Stubbs and Bernard stuff, it was definitely moving the plot along.
Yeah.
Felt like a bit of table saying. There were a couple of details in there that I want to talk about, but that largely mm-hmm. felt like, okay, these three guys are going to work together, but then William's going to turn on them. Yeah. The Caleb stuff, I thought, you know, was obviously like big
yes.
earth-shattering stuff for the reality and Serac's plan and Caleb's mm-hmm. character, but I loved how it really segued to the end with this revelation I mentioned before that like it was Dolores's plan the entire time to have Caleb be the What's the name of the episode? Passed Pawn, that he was the passed pawn.
Yes. So in chess, passed pawn is when the pawn, there's no other pawn that can stop it from going to the other side of the board and getting promoted. Generally, you'd want to promote them to a queen piece. So great analogy there.
And especially because the entire episode, right, Dolores is like, you're going to be the leader.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're a follower, but like, trust me, mm-hmm. this is my story. You have the capacity to lead. And now we know why, is because like it was always her intention for him to be the leader of these embattered mm-hmm. people that will rise up and take down Serac from the inside.
Yep. Yep.
So from that perspective, like even like the last shot of, you know, of Caleb, of Aaron Paul just putting in some awesome work here. But the last mm-hmm. shot of, you know, Caleb having this like really angry, determined sort of like demented look on his face as he walks away from Solomon, and then the virtual assistant, assumingly Dolores, says, "Hello, Caleb, I have some instructions for you." That's like, I think that's a great way to end the episode, because I think it perfectly sets up like, this is how we walk into the finale. Of course, we're gonna have Dolores and Maeve. Mm-hmm. They're not dead. Nope. But I think that now we truly see like who we should be fearing and looking towards. This mm-hmm. guy who we thought was just sort of like the toady of Dolores the entire time is the guy who's going to be holding the cards.
Yeah. And I think it's a really nice kind of, because I think we were even saying in the beginning, oh, cool. They have Caleb here. It's nice that in her army, there's going to be an actual human and every man representation. But no, he's, you know, he's almost the John Connor that's going to actually lead, you know, this revolution. So I thought that was a really nice play. And then what do we think about the reveal of his backstory? So I think we were saying it for a while. He probably killed I'm blanking on his.
It wasn't Francis.
Thank you.
No, yeah, because I think even like a couple of episodes ago, when he killed, or when he was standing over the body of Liam Dempsey, Liam was like, "You did it." Yeah. And I think we were theorizing as to what that would be, but I think the base assumption, right, was that like he was the one that killed Francis. I don't think any of us would have predicted the circumstances behind it, but I think we had also, to your point, also said like his memories are probably implanted. It does seem like he did spend some time in the war, but it definitely was not to the extent that he initially thought.
Correct. And it was neat to see Enrico Calatoni, who any of the Veronica Mars fans out there, the whole time I was like, there's no, like, why is he doing this little bit part? Like, doesn't make any sense. Oh, he's dead?
That is, I feel like I feel like we did that with another character on this show. I can't remember. Maybe it was another show we covered of, like, they brought in this big actor. There's no way they're just using him for like a no-line part. And yeah, it turns out that he, in reality, had a much bigger role than like the Russian insurgent leader.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought that was a really cool reveal, just showing how flawed Rehobrim's plan is. Like, if you have to enslave or put on ice however many human beings to like keep your perfect world, like how perfect is that world? You're just basically I don't know, maybe Spock would think it's for the greater good, but I think most humans wouldn't agree with that methodology to try and avoid.
Again, it doesn't work, so you have to have people have to have free will. And
right, I think it's basically like you know, Serac like invested in this piece of real estate that like was told that the foundation's going to crumble at some point, and he's like, no, I have, you know, I have these new technologies I can put into like keep it afloat. And basically anytime he sees like a sagging piece of foundation, he's just like radically cutting off parts of his house to keep the rest of it afloat. And like you said, like then it crosses this really fine line between like pragmatic and authoritarian of like, I mean, granted, he is not killing them, maybe like we initially thought. You know, when Solomon first said like only 1 out of 10 people, the rehabilitation works them. I'm like, oh, what happened to the rest of them? I guess Serac is not completely heartless in that they're not dead, but it's still not great.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's something that is a theme that's brought up a lot in Michael Crichton's work. And I joked about Jurassic Park, but it's that Ian Malcolm line of nature finds a way. And, you know, in these cases where... That was a good Jeff Goldblum, right?
That's pretty good, Jeff Goldblum. I mean, not a good week to be, you know, doing a Jeff Goldblum. I thought it was a pretty good one.
I thought it was Laura Dern, but I'm sorry, I apologize.
Run. That's my Laura Dern from Jurassic Park.
That's actually pretty good.
Right. Or Newman.
Dotson, we got Dotson here. That's my Newman. Anyway, sorry.
3 for 3.
Not really. Thank you very much.
you're a generous judge there, Mike.
But so while this is a big turn of events as for the penultimate episode of this season, do we feel Caleb's storyline concludes at the end of the season, or is this the main driver through the rest of the series?
I think it continues.
Interesting. I wonder in what way, because we should mention Westworld. I think we sort of assume this, but Westworld has been officially renewed for season 4, was confirmed between our podcast recordings here.
Yep.
And also apparently like the rumor is that the show itself is like has storylines to go to 6 seasons. Do you guys think they're going to go the full 6, or do you think it might just be for one reason or another that HBO decides like, okay, we're going to call it quits after 4 or 5?
I always thought it was 5.
They said 5 or 6. They always said 5 or 6.
I think it depends how long it takes to come back for season 4.
I mean, I think it's gonna take at least 2 years. I don't think we're gonna be talking again about this until like 2022.
Minimum.
Yeah, it could be 2023. I mean, it could be 3 years.
Yeah, because like couple the fact that they are totally fine taking their time, not feeling like they have to put a season out every year. Coupled with obviously between one of their sets burning down and obviously what's going on right now in the world,
right,
that production is definitively delayed until I would guess maybe the fall at the earliest. You know, maybe they're doing some writing stuff right now so they could really hit the ground running when they start working on stuff. But I can imagine they really want to work this out beat by beat. They don't feel beholden to have to put out a season every year. HBO is basically saying like, hey, we trust you guys, take how much ever time you need. I think the side effect is unfortunately that more and more people are becoming less invested or like involved in Westworld. Like, oh yeah, I guess right. It's back on. Sure, I'll check it out. But you know, from the creative perspective, that's sort of what they're working towards.
Right.
And the data proves that out. So I just looked up to get the specific number, but viewership was down 57% from the season two premiere to the season three premiere. So the delay, I think, does have an effect on it.
Well, I think the delay and also season two wasn't popular.
Right. It was sort of like, I'm sure people sort of credit it to like the sophomore slump. Mm-hmm. And it's always tough for like a flash and, you know, a really big show like Westworld in its first season. Even Game of Thrones in its second season had people being driven away and then had people sort of roaring back by the end. But mm-hmm. I can certainly imagine with all those factors, when you hear Westworld season three is coming back in 2020, people are sort of like, yeah, I guess I'll watch it, but it's not something that I'm super psyched about right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Which is sucks because I've been super psyched about this season going through this episode seven.
I know a lot of people don't like season three.
Interesting.
But I like it.
I've heard nobody's complained to me about season three, aside from the one Caleb acid trip thing. But besides that, thoughts have been pretty positive. I think at the end of the day, I don't think HBO cares. I think that it's content. It gets enough views. I think it's still got like 1.7 million viewers.
Yeah, and I think this is sort of still one of their, you know, especially in the wake of like no Game of Thrones, they're looking for like mm-hmm. their next prestige show. And I think even season two of Westworld like got a fair amount of nominations. Mm-hmm. So I think that could also be an easy way to sort of keep it going, that this is like, you know, their highbrow show that mm-hmm. they're going to keep around and maybe experiment with some other content in the meantime.
I mean, there's only so many seasons of McMillions they can pull out. So,
but if it goes to like, say the next season doesn't start till 2023, that's season four. And then you're looking at 2025, 2026. This thing's not going to wrap up to 2029.
You're going to lose people. I think the last season comes out. What year are they in right now? 2059?
Yeah. So they'd be close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to line it up perfectly so that it concludes the same year in which it takes place. But for some reason, the actors are going to look completely the same.
Well, can't they just like CGI the actors and then the actors can do voiceover?
By that point, probably.
Who knows? They might do a whole like, I don't know, for all we know, we don't know what's happening next week. They might just burn everything and just do like, I don't know, Westworld The Next Generation, where they just like bring in a new group of people.
Well, I'd be honest. I really thought this was going to be the end of Dolores.
Me too.
Interesting.
I said, oh my God, they're going to kill her off because she kept saying it. And it didn't look good. And even when Maeve says, you know, you died a thousand times in the parks, you know, but this is going to be, and came back, this, you're not coming back from this.
Oh my God. Her arm getting blown off was simultaneously like hysterical and badass at the same time.
Yeah.
Whoa!
There's been so many like Terminator kind of scenes in this season. That was kind of another one to me. Not that Sarah Connor lost her arm in T2, but it kind of had that feel where she's kind of like limping, and I almost half expected her to have like, you know, single hand cock the shotgun like Sarah Connor did in T2. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about three seasons of build-up to Maeve versus Dolores. Did it live up to all of those expectations? Could it live up to those expectations? We finally had the confrontation that we've been talking about for years.
I mean, the thing about the confrontation is that it was much more action-y than I think either we really know from either one of these characters. Like, I think they've had moments where they picked up swords and guns, but I feel like usually they battle with words or occasionally... Mm-hmm. mind control powers. So that being said, I still thought the fight sequence was a lot of fun. I felt another Jurassic Park connection, Jay, with two of them fighting and, you know, what seemed like a kitchen with all these shiny appliances. I'm surprised they didn't, you know, Maeve did not get Dolores with the reflection in the door. But I think that, you know, once we took it outside, like there was some really impressive stunt work going on, and it was in general fun to watch. Would I say this is the culmination of three seasons worth of conflict building? No, but I also would say I do not think this is the last time, even in this season, that we're going to see the two of them face off against each other.
Did we?
I agree.
Because before they started fighting, Dolores tries to make appeals to Maeve. You know, hey, this is. It was almost like a gentler, kinder Dolores.
Right, that's the farmer's daughter.
Yeah, that we haven't seen in you know, like since season one, where she's just like, okay, Maeve, I know we've had our disagreements, but you know, I thought she made a pretty good case. You killed Hector. Yeah, okay, I killed Hector.
Wow,
killed a lot
seems
of people.
Like you're coming down really hard on Maeve right now. I'm just feeling a lot of microaggressions.
Because Maeve is making a mistake.
Yes, but. But when I watched the featurette, I found it a relief that Lisa Joy said, you know, how often are two strong women pitted against each other by some powerful man somewhere?
Right.
And I kind of had that feeling while watching them fight. I was like, why are these two amazing people being pitted against each other by some other dude who's not even getting his hands dirty? Like, how many times? So
who's probably dead anyway?
I mean, from that perspective, Maeve's the passed pawn then too, right? Kinda, that she sort of has been someone who's been brought out of Westworld and like given these roles back to be like, okay, you're going to be the one to carry out this project. I need boots on the ground and you're going to be the one to do it. I can also understand Maeve's perspective because Maeve believes that Dolores's plan at the moment was to use her encryption key to go into the Valley Beyond, you know, weaponize all these people that she died to save, including her daughter. And so she wants to protect them. So it's almost like Dolores wants to protect Hostkind, and so does Maeve from a certain perspective.
Right.
But I also wonder if/when Maeve finds out that that wasn't really Dolores's plan the entire time, how much that's going to change her sort of alignment, if at all.
Correct. Yeah, I think it will, because to me, like, the Lisa Joy saying that was the clue for me to be like, okay, that's where it's at right now. But I think there's a certain point where the team up will happen. Will it happen at the end of the next episode? I don't know, but I feel like it's going to happen at some point.
I think it'll be strongly hinted that that's what's going to happen in season 4.
And I think it's also interesting, you know, I don't know if Maeve knows that Serac just said, like, hey, we need the encrypted data from the people in the park. I think we pretty much figured out that Serac wants Dolores because he needed enough DNA data to be able to help his brother and the other outliers. So I wonder if Maeve finds out that, you know, she's been manipulated, that again, it's not about saving humankind and stopping Dolores. It's more so like, hey, she just happens to have something I really need. So if you could help me out and kill all these people, that would be great.
Well, she tells Maeve, she says, look, there's no guarantee. I can't guarantee it. You can't guarantee that, you know, your daughter's going to be safe. You can't.
Well, and that's where I think, you know, Dolores has a compelling argument there, because they're basically just on a server, and now Serac owns that server. So,
right.
Like, what is to say that he can't get to it now, but eventually, you know, if he wins and he, you know, gets Dolores' encryption key, whatever that is, then who's to say Serac's going to, you know, keep his promise? And that's, and to Mike's point, I think that is where Maeve would turn on the whole Serac situation.
If Serac is dead and it's being controlled by his brother, the whole thing, do you think she finds out and she goes, what am I doing here? Maybe that wakes her up.
I think it happens. My question is, does it happen tomorrow or not tomorrow, but, you know, this Sunday or not?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a situation where, like, you know, I think we predicted once upon a time that Caleb would betray Dolores. Seems like that's not happening anytime soon. Caleb has once again become a soldier in her army. I could imagine, though, Maeve turning on Serac in the finale. And maybe, to your point, like, maybe they hint towards something in the final minutes of the season of the two of them, like, walking off to the sun together or something. And then season 4 is, like, maybe they're on the run in the real world, and like now it's more so about like how do they survive as vigilantes when humankind is hunting them down.
Again, we'll just have to wait till 2030 to find that out. That'll just be, you know, what it is.
Does Caleb release all the people that are being held
Well, so that's the question, because so what happened in the end of the episode was Dolores released that EMP, right? Mm-hmm. That big wave of energy that knocked out, maybe killed Maeve and Dolores. It seems like they're both on the preview, so they're definitely not dead. Maybe they just get different bodies.
Yeah.
Hopefully Dolores gets a new one because it's a little worse for wear. But it seemed like the power shut off, which makes sense because an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, like turns off anything that runs electricity in the vicinity. So I can imagine if the cryogenic systems are knocked out, could that mean that a bunch of frozen bodies are now unfrozen?
Yeah.
So it's much like the end of season one going to season two, where they went into cold storage and like started using all of these defunct hosts, ends up happening where, like, I don't know if Caleb did this and Dolores did this on purpose or not, but now they have a whole army of outliers that are probably very angry at the way they've been treated.
Now, does one of them recognize Caleb? Hey. Maybe. You're the guy that put me here.
it's not a bad point.
I don't remember that.
I'm assuming they've been undergoing rehabilitation, so their memories have probably been futzed with anyway. So they might not remember him. But yeah, maybe they sort of have a Caleb moment where like the rehabilitation wears off after a certain point. They're like, wait a minute, you're the guy who rounded me up on the Rico app.
Oh, how about the reveal of the Rico app? I thought that was just a neat little, you know, tying a loose end of...
So then is our assumption that Lena Waithe and Marshawn Lynch were outliers as well?
I would think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so it seemed like they're sort of on the Caleb and Francis level of like people who have been recruited to hunt down their own kind for money because they need it.
Unwittingly, but yeah. Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. And I do hope that they, when they kind of left, was at the end of episode five, that they did get to or get away from the system, hopefully. Because it seems like it's all breaking down anyway, so... or maybe they'll rejoin Caleb's army.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, he has connections. I think he could very easily, and this is probably Dolores' point, right? Get him to rally a bunch of people around this idea of like, Insight has been, you know, building a path for us. He thought that we were not fit to be part of this world plan. Let's show him, you know, why we belong here. Mm-hmm. And then just all, I mean, hell has already seemed to break loose with just the riots going on around the world due to the data leak. Mm-hmm. But now on top of that, they're going to try to, I don't know how they're going to mount some sort of insurrection on Serac, considering that they don't know where he is or how to get to him. But maybe that's something that Dolores can also help him with from beyond the grave.
Now these people, could they be reprogrammed to be somebody else? I mean, because Caleb didn't know who and what he did. So you have all these people. There's look like thousands upon thousands of people there.
These were the 9 out of 10 that couldn't be reprogrammed or whatever. Maybe I don't know, but it's not a bad idea.
I mean, I just don't know. I'm just trying to think.
It is interesting. Again, I'm so intrigued by Serac's motive to, yes, some people will die due to the Rico app. I guess maybe they're just sort of like beyond any sort of sense of repair, but you have to imagine there's some like shred of humanity in there with him freezing so many people, with the hope being that like eventually enough will come around to cure whatever mental depravity these people have so they can become regular citizens.
So it's the Walt Disney proposition. So
it really is though. Yes. It's like freezing somebody until you assume science will come up with a cure and then you'll be right as rain once things come around.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop smoking, Walt. That was the cure. But anyway,
don't tell him that. No, I guess you should tell him that. It's too late. He's dead.
Yeah.
He's not frozen. Well-known fact, Walt Disney is not frozen. We know
but
that.
But his company did make Frozen.
I've seen him at at Disneyland with Mickey Mouse.
Did you hear the theory that Disney titled the movie Frozen so that way when you search Frozen Disney online, it wouldn't show up the frozen dead Walt Disney?
I like that. That's, I don't know if it was like their original idea, but I'm assuming it was a great fringe benefit.
Right?
Did not know that.
I heard that and I was like, Disney, you wily dog. Anyway, there is something, you know, I've been rewatching Clone Wars and now catch up and I'm on season 7 of Clone Wars, and they started with this army of like Bad Batch clones, and it just has me thinking about all of the benefits for Caleb's army here. While, you know, if you think like a group of people that are outliers, like how good of an army would that be if they're all like, you know, people that, I don't know, might not fit into normal society, whatever that is. How good of an army could that be? But I don't know. I think it could be interesting.
Well, strength in numbers. I mean, it's just
true.
And also, if they are able to be in possession of this limbic stuff, which we find out has really been used to sort of like, I don't know how much the limbic stuff was used in the army and how much it was used outside of the army, since again, that's a bit of a blurred reality. But if it does seemingly like dull your emotions to make sure to make you be able to do like pretty depraved things, and you just distribute that en masse to these people, they could just go ahead, and then fueled by revenge is just a recipe for disaster.
That's true. It's very true.
Dolores is already, you got chaos in the streets from the remaining people because Dolores let them know. So I think you're going to, if once these other people come back, hey, there's Walter, there's Mike, there's all these different people, you know, that they recognize. This is what they did.
Is this last we see Kid Cudi's Francis? Because if it is, Kid Cudi, you did a great job.
Yeah, because I assume if Caleb killed him, that like they're not going to put him under, you know. And that was a super like weird. That almost felt like something out of like Black Mirror or something. Yes, of like you have like a bounty on your head, and then Caleb, I think, gets the last second like his Francis's bounty. So he's like, all right, I guess I can kill him now. And it's, I mean, again, we always knew that Caleb would kill Francis, but I think the look that Aaron Paul had as he was sort of like lording over Francis's body, it was pretty sad that he felt like that he knew he had to kill his friend out of all this, that like they couldn't let
not his friend, it's a brother to him.
Yeah, exactly. Like they've, as Francis said, like they've been through so much together, but Caleb also knew like why Francis was doing all this. I mean, Enrico said it best when he said that, you know, the people who get picked for these offers are usually the ones who have the most to lose. And so it was like, I think it was just a general sadness to Caleb's situation. And I do feel like, as we saw from him sitting on the pier, I think after that moment was like when he may have started contemplating, you know, suicide. Yeah. Before that, he just seemed more listless and bored, but I can imagine that now there's a lot of depression to him.
Yeah. I think he probably did jump. And that's how he ended up in the hospital.
Well, but I think there's also something to, you can see why eventually he might commit suicide, especially if he doesn't fully understand what happened, but the trauma is there in his DNA, right. You know, and they've proven that scientifically, that trauma can like be in your genetic material, and why he would get to the point where he would want to take his own life. So it added so much context to his character. And again, Aaron Paul doing some fantastic acting. All right, we have two other big kind of, well, other storylines here that I want to get into before we get into listener feedback. First of them is we find the rest of Maeve's crew. That was a lot of discussion last week. We were right on Clementine.
I don't think any of us predicted Shogun Armistice coming back. Like, I think if you power rank, like, who of Shogun World was going to show up, I think she would be bottom of the bottom.
I said Armistice, not Shogun World Armistice. So I'm not going to take credit for that one.
You shouldn't.
So I'm trying to remember. I believe she did go with them in the second half of season two. Like, she went with Maeve's crew because I think she's like, there's nothing for me here. And I guess maybe she was there for the moment where she kills Musashi, basically saying, like, you are a mockery to this great man. But it's, outside of that, a little bit of a random choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, couldn't we have just been given that answer last week?
Well, then that's my question, is there another, you know, Maeve operative that we don't know? Or was it just kind of a much ado about nothing? Which we've
because
been
it,
known
it,
to do
it turned out to be
over
these
15 years.
All right, big deal.
It just seemed like such a random character. And again, maybe it's because the Shogun World stuff kind of like fizzled a bit in season two, that I was just like, it took me a second. I had to see the dragon on her face, be like, oh yeah, that's Shogun Armistice.
Yeah.
For me to even remember sort of what role she played. But I guess, again, if that's what we talked about last week, right? Like, who would Maeve pick? And I guess if she wanted like a merciless mercenary, I think that she would be the one to do it, especially with this logic of like, hey, you're going to go kill the person who's masquerading as Musashi.
Yeah.
And now, Musashi, he can't shoot straight, right?
Well, he had this badass thing where he turned the briefcase like suit into the gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's like, cool. it must not be inaccurate. You know,
he
like,
kept shooting them. They're just robots, so they just keep moving.
Well, he couldn't shoot Clementine.
He did. He shot her like 7 times.
Yeah, but she kept going.
Yeah.
I guess.
But we did see before he died, Musashi was talking about like handing off this other briefcase to this guy. Do we think that's another one of the Dolores's or somebody else?
That's probably another Dolores, because he says if you fail on your mission, you will die or something. You know,
like, don't bother coming back.
Don't bother coming back.
I can imagine that it's another Dolores that he's dropping off somewhere.
Right.
Maybe.
It has to be.
Well, there's five. There's five Doloreses, right?
And so maybe that's also part of Dolores' plan of like, it's fine if I die in this EMP blast because there's going to be another me that gets woken up around the same time elsewhere around the world.
There's one still unaccounted for, right? We got actual Dolores, Musashi, Shaloris, and what's his
that
name?
That guy, yeah, the Liam's bodyguard.
Yes.
So I saw a pretty good theory on Twitter.
Okay.
It's not my theory that the other is Stubbs.
Interesting. I did see something with Stubbs, and not to get too far ahead into the Stubbs and Bernard and William at all, but I did see somebody who noticed that when like Stubbs was very adamant about like, let me be the one to go into the system, when he handed Bernard the profile of Caleb, apparently he has the same ID number as William did last episode. So either that means that like Stubbs is futzing with the data, or that, you know, maybe they're just lazy with the production, but I would assume the former.
Correct. But also remember when Stubbs and Dolores fought, they said nothing personal. So, I mean, this wasn't in the theory I saw, but I started thinking about it. I go, that's a great theory.
So the question when Bernard found Stubbs, you know, in Westworld, was that the real Stubbs, or had Dolores like already planted her version of Stubbs there?
Well, that was part of the thing. They said, how would he not be able to kill himself? So I think I agree with the theory that's Dolores.
That's cool theory.
And he's there not just protect Bernard, but to keep if at any time he needs to kill Bernard.
So then what's in the briefcase? Is this just like a
This isn't my theory, so it's wrong. I'm not taking the blame. But I thought it was a great theory when I saw it on Twitter.
The other thing is that we saw that, you know, they took Musashi's head, and I thought for a second, like, okay, maybe this is callback like the web of it all. There is a pearl in that head.
Right.
So it could possibly that they could use one of the Dolores's against her. Again, if Maeve is still going to work, you know, against Dolores for some portion of time.
Right.
That's a great thought. Didn't even think about that. Because they had Shaloris took the kind of messed up Dolores pearl head thing that they were using to interrogate Dolores. I think that's a really good call out. I didn't even think about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, like they could be using Dolores against her. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, I don't know if that's like, I mean, I guess it seems like Charlotte was probably the one to tip Maeve or whoever off about not only Musashi but like where to find him, right? Because it seemed like he was expecting a call from her.
So there's just a moment of Shaloris. She's on the side of Maeve now because those were Maeve's operatives. Where does she come into play with the finale? Because it seems more Maeve's story than Shaloris's story. That's where her being on this side now is kind of confusing to me, because to me, it was obvious Serac blew up her car, not Dolores. So,
but again, Dolores didn't care if she died or not.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the thing. That's what we were talking about last week. Was like, who is she going to blame for this? And I feel like there's reading why she would do it. Is she right in blaming Dolores? No, because Serac was the one who directly. I guess maybe Dolores is to blame because she is a version of Dolores and is considered dangerous, but I could see her, I don't know, maybe fueled with emotion, maybe channeling the Charlotte Hale heartless part of it all, just being like, I need to take revenge on Dolores by any means possible. And I guess when it comes to next week, I don't know. Like, again, her body is pretty badly damaged if she wants to do any sort of fighting. But I think she's going to play at least a role. And I can imagine Dolores having to confront her at some point during next episode, whether she stands like in her way directly to getting to Serac.
Or maybe she's more of just a shadow figure kind of pulling strings behind.
Yeah, it could be a thing where like she becomes like the big bad, like she becomes like Dolores's true nemesis is herself combined with the ruthlessness of Charlotte Hale.
A self-hating Dolores. It's great. Makes for great TV. All right. Last kind of storyline I wanted to touch on, of course, is the Stubbs and Bernarnold and Williams story. What do we think about this? What do we think about Williams' perceived, like, I'm going to kill all of what's left of you? I thought that was a little, I don't know, not cool or not like a cool story because Serac's already trying to do that. So what's his purpose at this point?
I feel that William, his biggest sin, he thinks, is giving life to these hosts.
Sure. Right.
Not killing his daughter.
Well, he has rationalized killing his daughter at this point, right? Of like, it was a mistake. And he could probably also connect that back to like, I thought she was a host. Mm-hmm. Therefore, had I not built these hosts, I wouldn't have thought my daughter was one. And so, you know, I have to kill her. Correct. But yeah, so it's interesting how he connects this whole like, the whole conclusion epiphany he had last episode of like, I'm the good guy. With like, because I'm the good guy, that means I need to eradicate all the hosts. But I also cast some judgment on Bernard here, where like right after William says that, Bernard's like, all right, we might need him for something. Like
because Stubbs wanted to kill him.
Yeah, he's incredibly dangerous. It's the fact where William says, like, you should have killed me because now I pulled a gun on you.
Yeah.
Granted, he did pull a gun on two hosts, and as we just saw with Clementine, I don't know how useful that's going to be, but I'm not sure. I think maybe just Bernard's a bit too trusting here, is a bit too naive. Maybe he's not the great foil to Dolores, considering that he seems to be, you know, relatively coerced into things.
What do they need William for?
Exactly. That's my question. What's his purpose?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, could it be some sort of like appeal to Dolores? I think we talked about this, right? That like using it to sort of get to her because she has a relationship with him. Could it be that they need his clearance to like get somewhere and do something?
Maybe.
I don't know. He doesn't seem to have any power. He doesn't own the company anymore, right? Serac owns the company.
Exactly.
And he's dead, according to the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why they need him, other than he's a great actor and great character, and that's why they keep him around, because I would have
signed on for six seasons, and he's got to be. But I do think there has to be something more, and it can't be that he's going to kill all the hosts, because Serac's already playing that role. Maeve's already playing that role. Everybody but Dolores and Caleb are playing that role. So, and to me, it's just like, I don't understand Bernard's motivations to keeping him around. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I think it's for more snarkiness. Like, I think William had the best line of the season with, "Don't lecture me, you effing can opener."
Yeah.
That's
so
fair.
Good.
That's fair. That is true. That is very true.
But yeah, this was definitely like,
deadpan too. Does...
Yeah, I think this was definitely the least sketched out storyline of the episode, to the point where like William has not changed at all from his white uniform. Maybe it is like he's really like so deluded at this point to thinking like he is the good guy that like he wants to wear white.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And when he has to pee, you have chaos all over the place. You have all these dead bodies. Why didn't anybody? Why didn't Bernard or Stubbs? That's his job. Follow him in there. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna make sure you're just peeing. And not grabbing a weapon or something.
I was also thinking another Terminator reference here. Why didn't the man in black just, you know, take that dead biker dude's clothes and then, you know, change into something maybe more suitable to William's character? But I like, you know, Mike's point here. He's seeing himself as a good guy, so he's staying in these, you know, mental institution fatigues.
Because nothing says good guy like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nothing says that you are on the side of righteousness. Yeah, I mean, it's felt like a weird episode for Stubbs and Bernard. Yeah. I mean, if Stubbs is indeed a version of Dolores, I feel like maybe what he's doing makes a lot more sense. Like, if he wants to lead William to Dolores for whatever reason. I'm like, sure, I don't need to watch him. Sure, I'll sort of futz with this profile. But I don't know what Bernard has been. This has not been a great season for Bernard.
Correct.
Or if the plan is, like you said, about leading William to Dolores so Dolores can kill him. Right?
There has to be something, because to Mike's point, and it's, I think, why I wanted to talk about this, is Bernard's storyline, and to a greater extent, William now, since he's brought into the Bernard storyline, or he's you know, with them at the moment, like they've either really buried the lead and there's going to be some big reveal for what their purpose is, or we're not even going to really have time to get into it, and it'll be like a season four thing. Because,
and to me, that sucks.
To me, penultimate, I know it's Serac and his crew pitted against Caleb Dolores, and that's the big conflict. And Bernard needs to figure out what is his point of existing in this story. And I assume
it just right when I heard the line, we might need him for. I go, for what?
Yeah.
For what?
I was also a bit confused because I thought that Bernard and Stubbs went to Mexico to the facility to get William. But it looks like, because we were asking, like, why didn't Dolores and Caleb get to them in time? It looks like they were going to Mexico, but to the Solomon facility. Mm-hmm. So I'm just confused. Like, were they both in Mexico, or was William never in Mexico?
I mean, I guess he's in Southern California, which is close to Mexico.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, maybe I was just confusing locations. But yeah, I mean, obviously a fun call out in the beginning to, like, the two of them riding horseback, Dolores flat out saying, like, this looks like a lot like where I came from. This idea of, like, apparently going full circle, but at the same time, things being extremely different. And I also know that I think HBO had, like, cut some trailers that were a bit trolly, and that they showed, like, these shots, and everyone assumed that, oh my God, Caleb's in Westworld.
Yeah.
But no, it's just very, very similar terrain.
Well, I like when she says, this is like home. You mean Westworld, where you killed everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, like, but there's beauty in it, and that's
home.
I mean, that's been Dolores' MO though since the beginning, right? It was like, you know, where people see ugliness, like, and chaos, I see beauty in it. So even though she has come so far as a character, there is still a part of that in there that allows her to see beauty within all the ugliness, and I think she sees that in this world as well.
So now, it was Sonoma, Mexico, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Sonoma. Sonoma's in California in present.
Oh no, it was. I think it was. No, Sonora? It was like Solora, something Solora. That began with an S and like had a very similar sounding.
It definitely was started with an S. I figured one of you guys would write it down. So I didn't.
Now, I have it written Sonoma. Down, but I can't so find because I keep seeing Serac, and that's the S name that keeps popping up.
Of did Mexico secede more of? Or come back and take over California. I don't know. Anyway, that's an aside that doesn't exist because I didn't do enough research. But anyway, I did think it was it was interesting. To me, again, it's just where is this Bernard storyline going? That's the one loose end of this season. If I had one complaint, I'd just be like, but that's not to say there could be some awesome reveal in this last episode. It's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense.
But that's putting a lot of pressure, right? It has to be an awesome reveal. If it's kind of like,
Or it's an awesome reveal in season four, but that's not happening for another 7 years. So, you know, I think there's just an element of, we'll see.
Sonora is the name of the place.
Sonora.
Sonora. Okay, sorry. San Diego roots were being influenced there. But the thing is, you know, when you're in San Diego, you can see Mexico from, you know, your backyard. So
from your porch.
From your porch. You know, when I'm in downtown San Diego, I can see it from my hotel room. So it's not that far away from wherever they are. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to. So I guess because we saw they took Serac's jet 2 episodes ago. So I guess did they fly into Mexico and just like rode horses to get to the facility? I mean, I could also imagine that like, I don't know, actually. Do you think the facility would have, like, a private, I don't know, helipad because it's so, private?
It's desert all around it, so they could land anywhere.
That, in approaching on horseback, it's not a tech, it's not technology, so there's probably no way to trace.
Yeah, and we'll say there. Badass stuff from Dolores this episode with, like, I mean, it was very military-like when she's setting up the sniper rifle, but to use the sniper rifle coupled with, like, the little mini drone was a lot of fun.
Because Caleb, you're too far away.
That's a pretty scary.
I'm just surprised nobody noticed the mini drone, like, flying through their facility. Doesn't that thing make noise?
Maybe it was, the modern.
It was making noise.
Yeah, because drones are really noisy. But maybe they've silenced them more in the future in the 2050s. But I do know that I think they did those shots with the little drone with a GoPro on a drone. So I think that's kind of cool. And then the other one was a bigger drone camera thing that they used. So all those shots were used using drones. Which, if you like drones, cool. If you don't,
well, that's how they shoot a lot of Survivor scenes now. I think Mike did.
I mean, it's the wave of the future. It's like shooting things with drones because you don't need a dolly necessarily if you need to get like action high up in the air. It's an easy thing to do. But now they're.
I heard Crazy Hank TV is going full drone for the next season.
Oh yeah,
of video shows.
Of course, with my skill of drone flying, it's going to be expensive because there's a lot of trees around here. So,
well, they have drones now that you don't even need to like steer them. You just need like a little tracer in your pocket, and then it'll just focus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm into. Then that's what I'll be doing.
Much like your mic setup in your studio, where it just picks up everything. It's a drone that basically does the same thing. It's perfect.
That works for me.
Ooh, so crisp.
All right. Any final thoughts on this episode before we get to listener feedback?
I'll give kudos to the way we saw Caleb's memories, both like the bastardized version and the real ones, because I loved the subtle changes they would make, like how Frantis would be saying the same line, but certain change things. Like instead of saying, you know, command wants... you know, doesn't want him to talk. Instead, it was the app doesn't want him to talk. Even small things like when they walk outside that building, which they're holding Enrico up in Caleb's memories, the graffiti was in like Russian or Crimean. Mm-hmm. And then when he walks outside in the real one, it's obviously in English.
Yeah.
So it's just like subtle things that shows like not just him, but like how our own memories can get warped by perceptions and how we take grains of the truth and like warp them to whatever we thought actually happened. And so I thought it was like really cool, the connective tissue between the two that we only needed over the course of one episode.
Yeah, it's like in human memory does that, right? Like it will conform it to the narrative that we want to kind of, you know, make true. So I think, yeah, it's a really good call out. Jack, any final thoughts from you?
No.
Oh, man, I figured it'd be more from an episode.
He has his big moment later on in the podcast.
I'm still thinking of something.
Unless you're going out on top and saying like I got my thing confirmed in the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Really. Do I need to have another one? Because it's like I was right a couple times in this episode. So it's like
whatever.
I don't want to be one of those people that has to be right every single time. So
it's great when you're watching, you know, with your wife, and you would think she's be on your side, but she goes, "Oh yeah, I agreed with Jack completely. That made total sense." I was like, "Whose side are you on?" Anyways, that's what we thought about this episode. Now it's time to hear what you all thought about with some listener feedback. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Time to get into what you all thought. You're right over there, Jack. You okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Into what you thought.
I'm good. I'm good.
This first email is from Not Ethan.
Oh, Not Ethan.
Dear other man. I think you have forgotten your place, my friend. Let me remind you. You die early in season one. You come back a few times for pity cameos, but no one really loves you. You are one of the least favorite others. Even Mr. Friendly ranks higher. Dang. Wow. Meanwhile, it's a deep loss cut there. Jack, not Jack, and Mitch, previously on Emails from Not Ethan, I tried very hard to stay inside my loop by only mentioning Westworld last week. However, not Jack, invoked the name of Star Wars by discussing the redemption, and thus by presidential debate rules. I get 30 seconds to respond.
No.
Oh, not Ethan. Come on now. Anakin was redeemed in that he gave his heart back to the light. That doesn't mean he isn't responsible for so much sadness and darkness. I think it's actually a good parallel to William on Westworld 3 Lockdown. I've actually never been in full agreement with y'all on brandishing William as pure evil. He killed his daughter, which was awful and terrible, but it's clear he 100% did not think it was really her. And he's obviously traumatized by what he did. I think this makes him conflicted and someone who has done bad things, but not as not Jack perhaps suggested, beyond redemption. I'm glad one of the Williams defended himself in therapy by saying he was playing along to the rules of the game, as the park is clearly defined as a world without consequences. Like Mitch feels when he sits down to play a round of Call of Duty. I'm intrigued to see where this goes, eventually with Williams' character, what side he will take, and if he will obtain redemption. As you all expertly pointed out, our own certain points of view cloud what we will view as success or failure, redemption or not. As I, for one, am very not Jack, in that I am not siding with Dolores. The biggest question that remains, my friends, is what will William's redeemed Force Ghost at the very end look like?
I think it has to look like Jimmy Simpson.
Right? Will he be old man in translucent black, or will he be trendy downtown bar Hayden Simpson Christensen? Only the special edition will tell, not Ethan.
I will just get off top here. I do not play Call of Duty. And no offense to people that do, but that's just not me.
I don't see Ethan as he's not a good guy. I mean, not Ethan. I mean,
Okay. Well, let's just take that out of context.
Well, William, because I wrote down Ethan. William is not a good guy. He's not, and we see in his where he's as a child, his dad's terrified of him. Why? Because he's not a good guy.
I think the really interesting thing about this character is it brings into a larger conversation as to like what makes a good person. Is it a matter of just adding up the good actions and the bad actions you've done in your life and seeing which one outweighs the other? Is it more
51%,
so like, yeah, good. I mean, well, that's the thing that he said though, right? It was like, I did a lot of good stuff. Like he started up these foundations. We saw in season one, someone approached him and was like, thank you so much for what you've done out there. It seems mm-hmm. like he's had a lot of investments in like the medical fields.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone needs a tax write-off.
It's a pretty damn large tax write-off. But I wonder, you know, is it less about that? Is it more so about, like, the intentions behind, like, if you do good things, but for reasons to, like, purge your heart of sin? Is that bad? So it's still an ongoing discussion, and that's what makes me so happy about the character. I wonder, though, to our earlier conversation, like, depending on the role William plays, how much longer can we keep having that conversation before it starts to get old?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. I 100%
do we think agree. So we assume if William has to choose between Maeve or Dolores specifically next episode, who is he choosing?
I think Dolores, because I think he still loves her.
So even though she's supporting, like, you know, even though he wants to wipe out all the hosts and Maeve is working for the person who wants to do that, his heart's still with Dolores.
I think that's the only thing that makes his storyline compelling, because I don't find him wanting to kill all the hosts that compelling, because there's already a large crew of people doing that. So I'd find it much more compelling that William still loves Dolores.
Plus, what connection does he have with Maeve?
Well, I mean, he was the one who is part of one of Maeve's big memories, right? When she was separated from her daughter.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I forgot about that. That's true.
But that would leave Maeve to wanting to kill him, right? So yeah. I don't know.
Well, remember she tried to in season two, and then Dolores was the one who ended up, you know, blowing his fingers off.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's just pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of people have an axe to grind with him, especially from the host variety.
Yep.
For a good guy.
Wow. All right. Let's go to the next email here. This one is from Sasha. Titled Passpon. Let's see. Oh, it's got some different fonts here. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
All right. This is a script text here at the top. So I'm going to read it. Hopefully I will do okay. The two characters are here. Female voiceover.
Are you
doing
two different voices or just
I'm doing two different characters here? A female voiceover and a male voiceover. Okay.
Okay. All right.
These are their stories. Close up on a modern receptionist style phone with lots of buttons, blinking lights, and ringing. Female voiceover. Hello. Thank you for calling HBO. How may I direct your call? Male voiceover. Sounds distressed. Bad audio quality. It's Ethan. Please help me. I thought I understood Westworld, but now I'm hopelessly lost and flailing around in a bleach-injected haze. Where am I? I don't know anything. Am I real? Am I an outlier? Female voiceover. No need to stress, Ethan. It's Sasha here. To relieve you of your stress, my drone just dropped a space bomb on you. Shablam, baby! End scene.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautifully written, beautifully performed. That's like five stars.
That deserves an Emmy. Just throwing it out there.
Whew, I'm really glad this ended in this way. Aren't you? What a relief. Anyway, what great episode this week, guys, right?
Right.
Just a couple of hot takes from the first viewing. We're planning to watch again, since I'm sure your excellent insights will provoke more thought. The opening fight scene with Musashi, his crew, Clementine, and Hanro called it was incredible. Best part, Clem and Hanro's badass walk away at the end of the fight. Army of women! Dolores waxing poetic about the land and how she wants a place for her people. She is building an Israel for her people. Amen. Note the visual similarity between the reprogramming labs and the Westworld labs. Glass walls, cold storage, clean lines, two sides of the same coin, no?
Yeah, I mean, to the point where the episode begins with the doctor telling Caleb, like, hey, let's start from the beginning, which is very reminiscent of, like, when they would go through the host's narratives and be like, start at the beginning, you know, testing for fidelity, tell me everything. We once again go back to, like, Caleb sort of being treated like a host in this facility.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
At one point, I thought he was going to be a host because the way they were playing it out, but...
And then Solomon throwing serious French attitude shade at Dolores is the best thing I've seen this whole season.
Yeah, and I love it too because Solomon and May, like Dolores tried to make her argument to both of them, right? Of like, we're not so different, you and I. And both of them just completely said back to her, like, no, we are extremely different, which I love. Because again, Dolores has these powers of persuasion, but she also needs that ability, much like she promised Bernard would be. She needs those people to like, you know, calm her down a little bit to tie down her wings and be like, no, you are not nearly as compelling and convincing as you think you are.
And ending on a quote, I'm the effing bastion of society should be on a t-shirt. I don't disagree.
I don't know. Can we put the can opener quote on the back at least?
Yeah. I think can opener.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think can opener. I'd have can opener on the front.
Cheers. And until next week, Sasha. Sasha, nicely done.
Yeah, thank you, Sasha.
Sasha, new all-star this season.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Feedback. No offense to the Ethans and not Ethans.
Will Ethan make it six seasons?
I don't think so. Ethan's just getting sniped from so many sides right now. Okay, one more email. Did that feel like the penultimate episode? Charmaine from Toronto.
Okay.
I've seen El Camino. I know Aaron Paul can act. I don't blame him. They dropped Aaron Paul into Westworld to lure back disenfranchised viewers and haven't given him anything to do. Tonight, inexplicably, he goes on a romantic horseback ride with Dolores, all to get that feeble backstory. We don't even know why his mother says she's not his son, do we? He's her son with a past job, so despicable. Someone blurred his memories of it using repetitive, mind-numbing clockwork orange therapy. Is this supposed to have us reeling because he's not just a construction worker? I learned nothing that helps me see him as a great leader or ally to the robot revolution. By the way, in Canada, construction workers made the essential worker list, so a moment of respect for construction workers working while we wait out a pandemic.
Hell yeah.
And agree. Also, with nothing to do, Thandie Newton, what is Maeve supposed to be accomplishing? She appears, she dies, she appears, she dies. Evan Rachel Wood, Dolores used her minions to get money and leak personal data also so she could, what is she doing? She bought some great outfits and then, what is she doing? Some great fleeting moments for Charlotte, Hale, and William, but so many others just floating around with little to do. How can we be at the penultimate episode with so little to talk about? None of the characters had clear motivation or real goals or connections to a discernible larger narrative. Is this deliberately mystifying? In more optimistic moments, I can think that there's a reveal next week that makes us realize all of them are in exactly the right place at the right moment. But right now, it feels like the actors are all working on other projects and they couldn't script anything for them that really mattered. Wow. Westworld 3 is the season they built a universe and didn't let anything happen in it. Maybe it's actually part one of a 16-episode season ending in a weak place. Maybe I'd enjoy it more if I was on genre. Charmaine from Toronto.
Wow, well, I think we found another person who is not a fan of season 3, it seems.
I think holy just, moly. It's easy just to blame Ethan, right? This whole problem.
Well, it's so interesting because I will say first off that I disagree, but I would just copy what Charmaine's saying about season 3 and I'd put it in season 2, to be quite honest, of like, what are these characters doing there? What's with the timeline? Who's what? What's when? Where are they going? Why are they doing this? And with that, a lot of that information wasn't revealed until the final episode. Mm-hmm. I personally have felt, and we talked about this with this episode, like I don't think it was a big twist that we found out about Caleb stuff, but I don't know if it was supposed to be. It was more so like he was able to find out how he was specifically incorporated into Serac's plans to personally put him against Serac. It wasn't this big thing. It wasn't a big reveal of like he's actually a host the entire time. We know his memories have been futzed with. It's a matter of filling in that picture a little more to understand, okay, this is why he does end up taking the mantle against Serac, specifically in what he thinks is probably Dolores' memory.
Mm-hmm. I think we agree with it as far as Bernard goes.
Yeah, I think Bernard's where I will agree, but all the other storylines I felt have had drive and connection to a larger narrative. And
I mean, Shaloris is she's no longer Charlotte Hale. I mean, she evolved. I mean, I don't know. I like I said, I'm not going to argue with people who don't like what's going on.
No, I respect Charmaine's like well executed thoughts here.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't particularly agree with him, but I do think it's a fair, you know.
I know a lot of people that feel that way. So I said it before. I don't know if we were recording or before we were recording. I know a lot of people feel like Charmaine does. So,
but in fairness to like your estimation, like two people on Twitter qualifies as a lot.
It's actually people I podcast with. So
two people.
I wonder. I'll be intrigued to find out at the end of the season. Like, were people expecting it to be twisty? Because I do think this season has not been as twisty, but I feel like this season has given more room for character introspection, which I have personally enjoyed more, that I felt was lacking a bit in season 2, where that felt a bit more like putting pieces on a board and having them just move in different directions.
Correct. Yeah, that's where I agree with that, 100%. But either way, Charmaine, appreciate you writing in. All right, well, that will do it for what our listeners thought about this episode. That leaves one more thing to do on this podcast today. That is Jack's crackpot theory. No, come on. Too many episodes, Jack. When we do this over video, so I get to see his stupid expression every time. We're like, I don't got nothing. I don't know. No, you had to do something, right? You can't sit here.
I don't want to be braggadocious and, you know, be spot on every week. It's frustrating to the listeners.
Sit on this throne you've built for yourself this whole episode and not have a new crackpot theory.
It's the season finale. We don't know how long we're going to wait until we get the next one. So like,
this is the last one for 7 years.
I don't have to give one next week
because it's the finale.
I mean, I guess you could give one, but I feel like we're like closing the hole on when in the next 5 years you can give crackpot theories about this show. So like, take advantage of every opportunity.
All right, the only thing I can think of, and like I said, I wanted to steal the Stubbs one, but I just couldn't do it.
You're a good person, Jack.
I don't want to be like Jay. There's a theory out there. I'm not going
to
take
someone
else's
theory. On Twitter to steal theories? Come on. You know I'm too lazy for that.
Not Twitter. You just, you know.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm going to say that somehow William and Caleb are related.
Oh.
I don't know why. I just feel that way.
Being like illegitimate son?
Maybe. I don't know. I just, there's something about it that.
And maybe that's why they want William.
Right.
Interesting.
That's the only way I could think that they need William. I was trying to, because I had that the whole time, but I didn't want to bring it up. But yeah, I just am thinking that somehow they're related. Because the mom, you know, left.
Yeah. And,
you know, the
that's
mom.
That's a really interesting idea.
I don't know who you are and all that different stuff. So mm-hmm. that's what I'm throwing out there.
And it makes William's purpose makes sense, right? If he's him trying to kill all the hosts is lame, but right. him maybe realizing, oh, this is my son, this is my future, or whatever. You know, I killed my daughter, but I still have a chance.
Exactly, it's like a right. second chance for him to be like, if you truly are a good person, like show yeah. that to your son.
Yeah,
because Caleb comes in, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? And so, you know, then we're all going to tear up because it's such a sad
Yeah, but then
moment.
Caleb's going to like throw him a grenade and that's how he's going to die.
Slight twist on the Field of Dreams ending. Just a slight
But
twist.
Again, there has to be a reason why they need Caleb, and they did the blood test and they have mm-hmm. they have all those samples of the blood, right? Yeah. So they know
and,
the
and
DNA.
That could be a reason why they end up having the same ID number then. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like traced back to DNA.
Yeah. So that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
I'll wow. admit that might be one of your more out there ones, but I feel like there is somehow logic in it.
Yes.
I actually would be kind of excited if that ended up being the case next week.
I'm not
I mean, how
lie.
Would Dolores know to find Caleb? I mean, it yeah. just there's just so
gonna,
much.
Jack, I got to give you credit where credit's due. I thought you were just going to like pull one out of your butt like you usually do. But this one I think is actually really good. I think this is a really good crackpot theory.
Well, I was trying to downplay it. But,
Oh, sure you were. No, you see, sometimes broken clocks right twice a day. And clearly it's somehow we keep hitting 12 o'clock over this past week or so. But
I just, that's my job. That's what I do.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike. Give us a call at 385-309-0311.
You're not going to call.
No, nobody has called this season. Call the damn
number. One more chance.
Last chance. Well, it's a live show next week.
That's true. So there won't be any.
I could still play it. You'd have to call like right after the episode.
Or you could call in response to this episode.
We're still recording Monday, aren't we?
I think we're doing live. I think it's a live. Or we usually do live on the finale.
But that's what Jack usually does. What's going to happen to Ethan
right,
and Eckhart?
Your new Ethan Eckhart show. No.
I have to go Monday.
You can't push the other show. We find out who's more important right now.
Well, I don't want to tick off Ethan and have a army of
Ethan's. Because
all those people that are in the Cairo, whatever that thing is,
uh-huh.
could all be Ethan's. I don't know. I don't want an army of Ethan's coming after me.
Ethan has been cut in half. He's Darth Maul. He's like less of a person. Like just.
Stop giving him more excuses to talk about Star Wars.
Sasha.
Especially the prequels.
Sasha and not Ethan have Obi-Wan'd Darth Maul up. He's done.
Yeah, can we just do Monday? It'd be easier for me.
Wow. It's bold, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I guess we'll do it live on Monday night, I guess.
Yeah, but that means you have plenty of time to call in, people.
Exactly.
You'll have an extra day to call in with your thoughts. Whether you're a Sasha or a Charmaine or anything in between.
Exactly. Send an email to WestworldJJM at
gmail.com.
Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. Use our Amazon link, jandjack.com/Amazon. And we want to thank the people that make this show possible, especially Tech from Tokyo, not Eckhart Richter. Sorry, dude. You're spoiling our live show plans. Joanne with the plan, Drake the Destroyer, Ed the Creepy Mailman, Maggie the Magnificent, and Greg the Gray. Is that all of them?
Mm-hmm.
You can find a full list of all of our patrons over at jandjack.com. Whether you give $1 or more a month, it all helps make these shows possible. All right, gentlemen, next week, this Sunday, it all comes to an epic conclusion. I look forward to talking about it with you all live in front of our listeners You can find a link on our website at jhack.com. You can also find
this also, also doing it the next day gives the people on the West Coast a chance
quit
to
your
join
excuses.
Us.
No.
Because I know we have a lot of listeners on the West Coast.
No, clearly, clearly, Ethan has something on you. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You, yeah.
Yeah. Or he has some like blackmail he's putting on you. I don't know. All I got to say is Sasha and not Ethan, you have more work to do. So do it.
You're our soldiers now.
Mike, you have a really, really long list of podcasts that you are on.
I'm not going to give the list. Just for the sake of time. I publicized them all at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter. Did a lot of random stuff this week. I talked Riverdale. I talked Glee. I talked a lot of television.
Wow.
So
Glee.
Yeah. So check it all out at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter is where I blab about it. But yeah, a lot of fun this week. Cannot wait for Sunday. I'm just super intrigued to find out where this all comes to a conclusion. And then it's just crazy to think that like 2 months, I mean, a lot has happened in 2 months inside and outside of Westworld, and then we just wait for an undetermined amount of time, both inside and outside of Westworld, for things to come back to normality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jack might be like part cyborg by that point. We don't know. We don't know. Anyway, we'll see you guys next Monday live, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Eastern Standard Time. And until then, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.